Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Well, it's an absolute honor and privilege to be here. It's been a little while since I've been here with my East family, and I brought one of the prodigal sons home with me today. You would have noticed Pastor Roo up here worship leading. You know, you guys developed the best leader, so I thought, you know what, come to the West with me. Roo now is a Westie. He oversees our prophetic pillar, and it's always a privilege to have him here with me as well today and serving where it all started for him, serving here at East for so many years. I'm going to ask that you guys keep praying for our West family. We've had to cancel our service tonight, not because of COVID, but because of the chaos of the weather on Friday. Our building got flooded, so we're not sure how long that's going to be, that we're going to be out of West for a while. So let's be praying into that. But, you know, I know that I represent our West family as I'm here today. And so we're going to get straight into the Word. You know, I want to preach into a topic of New Year's resolutions, the old famous New Year's resolutions. We're already a week in. It's already into 2022. For many of us, we started the resolutions on Saturday the 1st, and now we're waiting for 2023. But my encouragement for you today is going to be that we check back in, lock back into what God has for us. You know, I preached this message last week at West, and I really do believe it's relevant to our season, particularly as we start preparing ourselves for going into 21 days of prayer and fasting in our consecration series, as we put apart a meal to spend time with God, as we press into God's agenda for our lives. What is it, the one thing that we are seeking God for? You know, 2020, 2021 have been some pretty random years, and it looks like it's starting that way in 2022. But something that Pastor Corey and Pastor Simone have just mentioned plenty of time is 2022 is a year where we make no small plans. You know, whenever we come into a new year, I think of it as a new slate, a new opportunity. For some of us, the last couple of years have been tough, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be emotional. For some, we've had doors that have been slammed shut on us. Others, perhaps we've made the decision to close doors. For others, it might be great. You know, it might be that doors God opened for us, or we chose to step into new seasons. But whatever it is, you know, a new year brings a new opportunity to plan, to make the very most of the one life that God has given us. And so one question that I ask of myself, one question that I ask of our leaders, our fivefold team at West and all our leaders is, come the 31st of December, what is one thing that you want to accomplish, or perhaps build on, or perhaps maintain? You know, in a previous season of my life, I was a youth worker, and we used to work with young people that were, you know, struggling with mental health issues, drug and alcohol issues, and we used to always ask the magic wand question, which is this: when you remove all the variables that you can't control, if you had that opportunity to get rid of every single thing that has held you back, what would be different about your character? What would be different about your life? What would be different about you? You know, I remember twice I've had the privilege, and I don't think she's here today, but Carol Fell came along with us a couple of years ago to Africa, and we had this opportunity where we opened up the altars for people. And we invited people to come and say, what is one thing that you were seeking for your year, for your life? And, you know, in a situation where you're in a slum in one of the poorest parts of the world, it's very easy to assume that someone would come up and say, you know, I'd love to have a lot of money. I'd love to have a house. I'd love to have health. I'd love to have a better life. But I remember literally we had hundreds of people, and each person that I prayed for without fail asked for the exact same thing when I asked them this question: I want to love Jesus more. And it wasn't like a token answer, I want to love Jesus more because the pastor's here. No, these people are in a posture of surrender, tears, you know, just dropping onto the ground, and they are asking for more of God. And I remember I have never been more challenged in my life than that moment, where God challenged me, what am I asking for? Am I seeking first the kingdom, or am I seeking the rest that is added to it? You know, with the young people that I worked with, you know, this time of the year represents loss for them. Many of them abandoned by family, and I'll never ever forget one particular young man. I worked at a refuge many years ago. I know I look like I'm in my early 20s, but I assure you I'm not. Probably act like I'm in my early teens, but I know Sonia was saying, man, she was here. But I remember this one particular New Year's Eve, it broke my heart, because in the refuge, there were 7 beds in that place, and there were 3 kids in there that night, and two of the young people were there watching with us some of the fireworks, but there was one boy who stayed locked in his room the whole night, did not come out. His mum was in a domestic violence unit. And all he wanted was for his dad to stop hitting his mum. All he wanted was for circumstances to change so that they could be a family again. And again, that moment demonstrated to me, what am I grateful for? And how can I contribute so that even in that sphere of influence, or even in my own family, we don't see patterns or things come up that God never intended for us. So as we start to plan 2022, you know, resolutions are important. Resolutions can be tangible. I put our Wessies through the test last week. We talked about people wanting to lose weight. I think I need to lose a couple of kilos, but we ordered 30 pizzas last week. So like, test you right there. They can be tangible. They can be spiritual. You know what? I might try to pray once a day. I might try to read the Word of God. There's no judgment or condemnation in this place. We're all in different seasons in life. God doesn't look at someone that just starts to pray once a week, you know, less than someone that prays every day. God goes after the heart, not after how many times you do something. It may be emotional. It might be to repair or work on relationships that perhaps are fractured. But whatever it looks like, the question behind it is, well, what is the heart behind that? How will that change who you are? More importantly, have you prayed about it? We believe prayer fuels power. That's a very important question, because in Luke 12:48, it says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So have you prayed about it? See, the question for 2022 shouldn't be, can you trust God with your desires? But the question should be, can God trust you with His? Let me say that again. It's not, can you trust God with your desires, but can God trust you with His? See, where God has placed you, God has graced you. So no matter what it looks like, whether you're serving in a team here or whatever it looks like in the week, you have been placed by God where you are. Therefore, you have been graced by God where you are. His ways are greater. They are higher. They are far more further advanced than our own logic, rhyme, or reason. So the question, is He at the center of your plans? Are you making His plans the center of your plans? There are going to be a lot of questions that I'm going to be asking today, and I believe it's important in that, because you know, we need to reflect as we advance where God calls. We need to reflect on where we are. You know, I once heard this quote from someone, and I'm not sure who, so I put anonymous over here, but if all your prayers were answered, would the world be a better place, or would you simply be better off? You know, we talk about, you might be here today thinking, well, that's awesome. Dave, you're talking about the magic wand question. This is not realistic. Well, you know what? In the Bible, there is a character in the Bible that was presented with such an opportunity. That's King Solomon. And we're going to pick up the story here today in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. The scripture should appear behind me, but if not, just follow me in your Bible. It says, Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her into the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem before the ark of the Lord's covenant and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. It's a lot to read there, and there's so much to unpack in this scripture about where we're at in the season, not only individually, but corporately as a church as well. See, Solomon was given the opportunity of a lifetime, having just become the king of Israel, following the footsteps of his father David. See, the first thing that we see here in Solomon's predicament was not that this was not an isolated event, but rather it was part of a generational legacy. See, we read in verse 3 that his father David, we know King David as a man after God's heart. This was Solomon's example from his days as a child into a young man. Solomon witnessed how David lived his life both in the palace and in exile. And we read here, Solomon gives us insight in Proverbs 4:4-5. Then he taught me, this is Solomon speaking of his father David. He said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. See, when we think about our place, as we plan into this season where God has put us here in 2022, we need to understand that our no small plans in 2022 are actually the foundations, the building blocks of the generations to come, in decades, in centuries to come. So for Solomon, the love for God, the desire to seek wisdom was instilled into Solomon's life from a very early age. And Solomon followed this with a few minor compromises that we'll talk about a bit later on. But see, today here, as I stand before you and I share this word with you, I stand on the foundations of building blocks of 96 years of faith, of prayer, of a desire to see God in the community, not only in Melbourne, but around the world as well. See, we are here today sitting at Pneuma East on Sunday the 9th of January, 2022, because someone 96 years ago, C.L. Greenwood, had a New Year's resolution to see God move in his community. Let us never take lightly that what we desire in God, yes, it's to bless us, but it's to set a foundation for generations to come as well. So what you aim for in 2022, what you settle for in 2022, will impact lifetimes to come. And I often think, what will our offspring, whether it be physical or spiritual, what will they remember you for as we look back? See, as a church, we don't just build for now, but for years to come. So when you think about the scope or the sphere of influence that you are in, who is teaching you? Who are you leading? Who are you discipling? More than ever in 2022, where there is so much different rhetoric, more than ever, making disciples isn't optional. Therefore, who is discipling you and who are you discipling? You know, you might be here today and you might be a very first generation believer, and I say, congratulations, how awesome is that? So more than ever, as you look around, for us that have been in the ways of God for a long time, more than ever, there are people that are needing spiritual mothers and fathers, spiritual big brothers and sisters. That may be the path that God leads you in 2022. You know, I believe that 2022 is going to be a year where generational soul ties are going to break, both physically and emotionally, but also spiritually, where the whole idea, this is how church has been, will no longer be the case. I really do believe it's going to be like the early church, where we are going to see God come through His Holy Spirit, and we are going to see church united more than ever. See, right now, we might be isolated physically, but let me tell you something that the enemy cannot break, and that is how united we are spiritually and emotionally, but it's up to us to love our neighbor. It's up to us to love God and love our neighbor. See, David had taught Solomon that true worth and value was not in the material things, but through intimacy with God. This is why David implored Solomon to ask for wisdom. David influenced Solomon to have a heart always inclined to God, which is why this divine encounter happened at a place of worship. You know, we see that in verses 4-5, you know, Solomon was offering sacrifices. In fact, he was offering 1,000 sacrifices. Now, I don't know how long that would take. But see, Solomon understood that he needed to lay things down in order to encounter the presence of God. And so for Solomon, he laid down his pride. He laid down his ambition in order to seek God for his wisdom. In 2022, what do you need to lay down at the altar of worship to allow God to fill you with what he has for you? See, for me, you know, because we're covenant family, this is a place that we can be upfront and honest to each other. There are a lot of hurts and disappointments that I needed to lay down in 2020 and 2021. A lot of people that said they would be there, but when things got tough, weren't there anymore. And we found ourselves lonelier than ever. Yes, we were isolated physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. As a leader, I have never questioned my calling as much as I did last year. Where perhaps I thought maybe as a leader, I let down what God had entrusted me with. Maybe I was the problem. I needed to lay that down, my own insecurity of myself, and allow God to tell me who he said I was and that he called me. Some of us might be in that position. You know, maybe we need to lay down false narratives that have been told about us or to us. Or maybe we need to lay down false narratives that we have said of others or of ourselves. We need to lay these things down to, so that we can align to who God says you are and who God has called us to be. The altar, when we sing songs like Living Sacrifice, the heart behind it is that as we come to a place of surrender, we exchange what we carry for what God has for our lives. And so Solomon highlights here in this story that it takes a humble heart to sacrifice. See, for Solomon, he didn't care about his title because he understood something. That as great as he was, God was even greater. And so as we step into 2022, let's humble our hearts. Let's have an authentic heart of worship. You know, in a declaration that I believe for us, I want to read, and I believed it for Wes, but I believe it's applicable for us here, is Psalm 138. This is David, Solomon's father, speaking. Let this be our attitude for 2022. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. See, God met Solomon's authentic act of worship by presenting him with an opportunity to ask for anything that he wanted. Solomon ultimately asked for God's wisdom. Why? Because he understood that spiritual gifts are greater than material things. See, in verses 6 to 10, Solomon pondered on all of this. He recognized that his father's success was only made possible by the goodness of God. That David was not swayed when he had the plenty and when he had nothing. He still had a heart of authentic worship to God. So he understood that God's kindness was given in direct correlation with David's righteous heart. It wasn't about, for us, it's not about how many times you come to church. If you come 52 weeks a year, God's going to give you more blessing. Let me tell you something. You could come to church 3 times a week, every single week, but if your heart is not right with God, it would just be empty, void words of worship and praise. So Solomon, understanding this, praised God. He gave praise where it was due. See, Solomon recognized that the reality of his circumstance was that youth and wealth did not equal great leadership. So he understood that the title didn't make the man. God made the man. He knew that if God granted him the title, therefore, God was the only one that would be able to sustain him in that title. Now, you need to hear what I'm not saying, church. See, secondary priorities such as material things, they're not bad things in themselves as a means to an end. But without the wisdom to use them, without the wisdom to understand what it is that we're asking for, we can only rely on instinct and emotion. And when this is done, we make brash decisions, justifying it as though God has asked us to do this, but only to then down the track blame God when things don't work out the way that we want them to be. And when that happens, then we understand that actually God never wanted that anyway, but we still hold on to bitterness, we still hold on to things on God, and then we refuse to walk when it was something of our own doing, not God's doing. See, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God knows what you need. more than you do, more than I do. God knows what we need. That's why he equips us with the fruits of his Spirit, with the gifts of his Spirit. You know, I'm really believing that in 2022, we're just going to see the gift of faith rise up. You know, we see even like, for example, in Genesis 15:6, that God credited Abraham's faith, not with material things, but with righteousness. But ultimately, Abraham was really well off. So as we think about 2022, as we think about the predicament that we're in, where we want to be, what's one thing that we want to grow in at the end of the year, we need to understand that when we believe in what God can do, it requires us acknowledging what God has already done. Solomon looked at David and it was like, God, you blessed my father by letting me be king here today. Your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness is paramount. So I praise you. Therefore, God, if you've done it for my father, you can do it in my generation. Let this year be a year of faith in God, not a hope in an outcome. So when we think about beyond just what we're hoping for this year or what we want, how can God equip you in your current circumstance as we lead into 2022? You know, for me, even driving in today, trusty old Google Maps told me it was going to take 42 minutes. And it ended up taking 55 minutes. Why is that? Because literally every single light was red wherever I was. The only time I didn't have delay was on the freeway. Now, you might be thinking, okay, what's that got to do with anything? Well, at that moment, I had the choice. Do I choose road rage or do I choose praise? So I was just laughing. God, I praise you. I praise you. It is what it is. I'm not going to let something external rob me of the joy that God has put in my heart. You know, this afternoon does suck. The fact that I can't go out there and be with my location this afternoon, it sucks. But I'm going to choose to praise God in it because I know that what God is doing is greater than I can hope, dare, dream, or imagine. So I can choose to equip myself with the joy of the Spirit. I can choose to be proactive and then share that with other people and reach out to people and just say, hey, God loves you. We're praying for you. We're here for you. Like Pastor Luke mentioned before, never, ever, ever underestimate the significance of one simple text message and what difference that can make. You know, I'm going to share this very quickly, but it wasn't on my notes. But, you know, even in the pandemic, one of the things that really blew me away in our covenant family at West was just the generosity of our congregation. I remember speaking to someone in early August who had lost work, and at that point, they were freaking out. They're like, I can't put food on the table for my kids. And I remember we were crying, we were praying. Like, this was during our 21 days of revival fasting. And I just remember for Sonia and I, we took that time to pray into that. And I remember someone else in the congregation that had no idea what was happening messages me out of the blue. And they're like, hey, I've been praying and God put person X on my heart and I want to bless them with groceries. And I was like, oh God, this is awesome. And I didn't obviously explain to them what was happening. No one knew. And I thought maybe, you know, maybe a couple of like $50 voucher or something. This person blessed this couple with $300 worth of groceries. That same week, someone else said, God put this person on my heart. I want to bless them with money. For a period of 6 weeks, God provided all their needs materially, emotionally, and spiritually. Because the people in our congregation understood that it wasn't just mine and Sonia's and our fivefold team's job to love one another and to actually choose a heart of generosity in a season where it's very easy to be stingy. No, they took that step to go and bless others. And God moved in that. We have the choice, church. We have the choice. Do we buy into the rhetoric of fear or do we step into faith? Yes, that still means that we have to be discerning. Yes, that means we have to be sensible. But at the same time, the attitude of the heart determines what God can do through your faith. And so Solomon's heart was pure. It was genuine when he asked God for wisdom. It wasn't just the right thing to say. He genuinely meant it. The challenge for Solomon was not in humbling himself to ask, but rather in maintaining what God had blessed him with. See, we must ensure that as God blesses us with what we're asking for, that we do not compromise at all costs. You know, verses 1 to 2 here in the scripture. Should have done this before. I didn't do that. There you go. I did the same thing last week. I thought, I'm going to learn for next time. Here we go. No, we don't. Here we go. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. What does that mean? See, Solomon compromised on what he allowed the people that he was called to lead to do. Solomon compromised on what he was told not to do. See, the Israelites were told not to marry people from other nations, not to offer sacrifices in places that God had told them not to, but yet Solomon compromised in his heart to let the people do that. And Solomon compromised in his heart and said, oh, she'll be right, I'll be okay. And he went against what God had called him to do. See, early on, this wasn't an issue for Solomon. We read pretty much straight on after the wisdom and the favor that was on Solomon's life. But towards the end of his life, it cost him dearly. See, Solomon, he married 700 women. Whoa, like kudos to him. I don't know. What I struggle with one, but there you go. Horrible joke. Thank God Sonia's not here. She'd kill me. And it was those 700 women, each one by one, that led him astray from what God had planned for his life. You know, in 1 Kings 11:6 and verses 9 to 12, one of the most sad scriptures in the Bible, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. You know, even before that, in verse 6, it says, so Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father did. And in verse 10, it says, although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Whenever I read that, it breaks my heart because, see, little compromises lead to bigger distractions, which lead to catastrophic detours from what God has planned for your life. See, God will at times and according to his will grant us the desires of our heart. But once that exchange takes place, it's up to us how we steward what God has entrusted us with. Freedom is a responsibility. You can do whatever you want, but how are you stewarding the freedom that God has given you? For Solomon, he gave him, you know, the wisdom that he desired, but Solomon did not look after it the way that God intended for him to do it. See, your problem may not be 700 wives. And if it is, you need Jesus, come and see all of us. We'll call all the leaders, we'll lay hands and pray for you. But for you, it might be the people you associate with. People that bring you down or people that you bring down and don't build you up. It might be habits that distract. It may be relationships that detract. For others, it might be suffering in silence and not speaking up about what's in your heart. You know, again, I know that the enemy is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, tonight what I was meant to preach on at West was on mental health and the importance of that we are not alone in this. You know, my heart breaks when we see, you know, leaders, pastors, people impacted by making the decision of suicide or perhaps moral failure. My heart breaks in that because at the early stages, if they had someone that they could speak to about it, maybe you wouldn't get to that point. In my life, both as a pastor and as an individual, I've been affected by suicide 3 times. People close in my world that have taken their lives, if only they had stopped and just opened up, if only the church, covenant family, would have open arms. In 2022, what are the compromises and distractions that we need to lay down in order to focus on God and what he wants to give you? Little seemingly innocent compromises can impact the generations to come. If it can happen to the wisest king to walk the earth, it tells us that we are not immune. You know, as you read the book of Kings, it's such a sad read because then you see from generation after Solomon to Jesus come, God's chosen people turn further and further away and engage in things that God never intended for them to engage in and do horrible things. It all started with one little compromise. See, Solomon forgot the great Spider-Man principle that with great power comes great responsibility. Thank you, Spider-Man. In your 2022, what God entrusts you with is your responsibility to steward. You know, one thing that God put on my heart for West last year was that, yes, he is still building his church, but what are we doing to steward what he is building? You know, even as we think about where we're at with buildings, I know that we're in a similar predicament. We're looking for a home. God will build us a house, but it's up to us to build him his home. Church is covenant family. Can I get an amen? Come on. There are many lessons that we can take from Solomon's life, but the one that I want us to emphasize on as I conclude is the most important one, which is Solomon's original starting point, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to invite our DJ Alvin to come up and start pumping some tunes behind me on the turntables. You know, in verses 10 to 14, we see that God granted Solomon the desires of his heart. Why is that? Because God saw in Solomon a genuine heart. There was authenticity in that. And at that moment in time, God knew that he could trust Solomon with what he was asking for. God saw Solomon as a risk worth taking. God only had one request: for Solomon to walk in his ways. That's all it was. God only has one request of us: to seek first the kingdom of God. Let's make Jesus Lord and Savior, but let's seek the kingdom of God first, not join every single team, not come every single week, not read the Bible every day if it's not from a heart of wanting to actually encounter God. To walk in his ways requires more. Yes, those things are important, but to walk in God's ways is much more significant. It's trusting in God with not just the things that we can't control, but with the things that we can control. To walk in God's ways. See, God saw Solomon as a risk worth taking. God sees you, whether you're sitting in the front row, the back row, everywhere in between, God sees you as a risk worth taking. How do I know this? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. He didn't wait for us to prove ourselves before he sent. You are a risk worth taking. You know, as God puts dreams and desires in your heart, you are a risk worth taking. You know, there was once a day when I would walk through the doors of church, and this is not a dig at people in the back row, because that was me. I would sit in the back row because it was easy to hide. I thought I had nothing to offer. I would hide. I came very broken. I was just newly married with Sonia, and we were both hurt, broken, burnt by church. And, you know, we came in with the whole idea of, let's go to the biggest place that we can find where we can hide. I love God's sense of humor, hey? That didn't last long. But if there's one thing that I have learned in my own life, that God loves me more than my greatest mistakes that I've made in my life before I encountered Jesus as Lord and Savior. God loves me more than my title as Numa West pastor. God loves me more as David, the husband of Sonia and the father of Alexis and Judah. God loves me more. And his grace is so evident, even in this season. Like I said, it was one of the hardest years, but yet I come into 2022 with such a great optimism. And yeah, it could be easy to look at what's been happening in the last couple of weeks and again, but I don't. You know, I see the faithfulness of God more than ever in this day and age. Like, I think of it even with West. You know, a couple of years ago, we would have on average about 250 people a week, and now it's probably what we have here today is considered a big service for us at West. But yet the fruitfulness of the church and what God is doing. Every Tuesday morning, we get together for an hour of prayer. There are about 10 to 15 of us that do that on Zoom. Who loves Zoom? No one here. Don't put your hand up because no one does. But, you know, I think someone once said, you know, the Lord has many Zooms. I think that was the line that we used during lockdown. You know, I see how the community has come together. Last week, I saw, you know, hearing testimonies of people coming and how the community got around them. And, oh man, it blows my mind away, because we may have had more then, but we've got more of God now. And that gives me an optimism about what God is doing. It gives me an optimism as we think about and as we go on that journey for a building at East. I've shared this with Pastor Luke before, that when that time comes, that's going to be more than just a building on a Sunday. That's going to be a center of hope and influence for a community. There are so many people in this community that need Jesus, and God has brought you here, and God is going to stir something in your heart that is going to be very powerful in that season. And that when we come into that building, I really do believe that you're going to see the most salvations, not on a Sunday, but on a Monday through a Saturday, when people walk into the doors of a church and encounter a God through his people. If you believe that, let's give God praise right now. Let's not be afraid to dream big. You don't need to be a qualified counselor. You don't need to be a qualified youth worker to say a simple hello, how are you, to someone that's in a bad situation. Sorry, that's me going on a tangent. Rue knows this, I do this all the time, but I really feel that's so important. One of the things that I've always loved about East, early on team when I was here 8 years ago, I would come here a fair bit to serve. But what I've always loved, and as I look at some familiar faces that I haven't seen for a while, is that the greatest gift that you guys bring is who you are, the community that you bring. Some of the best conversations that I've had with people in this room actually haven't been after a service. It's been in your homes. You've welcomed me when you didn't have to because I'm from the other side of town. You've hosted us. And I'm like, if you can do that for us, I can only imagine what God is going to do through you in a broken community in seasons to come. So when we think about 2022 and beyond, we have something that Solomon didn't have. We have full access to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We have the mighty Counselor, the Advocate, the Guide who can teach you and equip you. Again, I rephrase my question from the beginning, one of the many, but you can trust God with your New Year's resolutions, but can He trust you with His? Seek first the kingdom of God.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.